May I give you a very warm welcome to St Margaret's Tyler's Green this evening as we come together to celebrate what is called the First Communion of Christmas, as we shall celebrate into Christmas Day. You will need the words that we are going to share together on your printed sheet, and then the Bethlehem Carol sheet will provide us the words for the carols. We're going to begin with some words of response. If you would join, please, in the words that are printed in bold. This night, Christ is born. Alleluia. This night, the Saviour comes. Alleluia. This night, the angels sing on earth. Alleluia. Glory to God in the highest. The Word was made flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. And as you are able, we stand to sing our opening carol, number 1, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And at the start of our service, it is good to take some time to reflect upon our lives. Perhaps Christmas is that time when we reflect on the year past. We receive all those wonderful news sheets from family and friends across the globe that tell us what they've been up to over the past year. And we have sent our news out too. So we reflect on our lives, and as we do so, there may be opportunity now to reflect on those things that we wish to bring before God and ask for forgiveness. Hear the words of the angel to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Therefore, let us seek the forgiveness of God through Jesus, the Saviour of the world. God our Father, you sent your Son, full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we stand as we're able to sing number 13, the carol Silent Night. Join in the peace of this Christmas celebration, that our joy in the birth of Christ will last forever. Eternal God, in the stillness of this night, you sent your almighty word to pierce the world's darkness with the light of salvation. Give to the earth the peace that we long for, and fill our hearts with the joy of heaven. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you please sit for our first reading?
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boots used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel?
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So as we're standing, we pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. We bow now in your presence. May the words I speak be those you want spoken, and may the words we hear be those you want heard. And may each of us live to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you. Do please be seated. So So there are Christmas stars in the high street and windows of pubs and petrol stations. And there are cribs and angels and any variety of religious symbols in our shop windows along the high street. And surprisingly, it's all okay. New data from the 2021 census released by the Office for National Statistics reveal that Christianity is no longer the default religion in England and Wales. Only 46% of the population now describe themselves as Christian, while the number of people who have no religious affiliation continues to grow. But at this time of year, it's okay. It's okay to allow religious things to invade ordinary everyday life. A bit like sort of trailing ivy, sort of pushing its way through the cracks of the world's uncertainty. And along with the cards of comic Santas and drunken Robins and snowmen throwing snowballs at each other, you know, it's okay to send a snowy church scene, and if you can find them, a card with a crib or stable or virgin with child. And you can have a crib set and a star on your tree. And it's surprisingly okay. For Christmas is an uneasy time for the uncomfortable agnosticism of ordinary British life. Of course, there are lots of people who just fudge it and they sing the carols for nostalgia, and mums sniff sentimentally over a child with a tea towel crammed on its head and stuffed sheep under its arm, standing by a playgroup manger. And dads find themselves with lumps in their throat as their little offspring lisp their way through a way in a manger, both claiming it's a wonderful time for children. Maybe one day, soon, all the religious symbols will have disappeared, and we will left be just with the tinsel and the red ribbon and seasonal lights and pop songs and winter greetings. But that time hasn't come yet. Somehow Christmas still spooks the secular world with a huge restless question that just refuses to go away. John Betjeman's asked a question in a poem entitled Christmas, written over 50 years ago. And in the midst of eight verses of lamplight oil and country churches and town hall bunting and shops filled with silver bells and flowers, he suddenly poses the most awesome question: and is it true? And is it true? Is it true? The most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me. If it is true, the poet continues, then none of these pathetic trappings count for very much. And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous ties so kindly meant, no love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, not all the steeple shaking bells can with this symbol single truth compare. It's a really disturbing poem. It raises this question that most people try to drown out. Is this true? Well, you know, we sort of fudge it. Yeah, there are all sorts of different types of truth, aren't there? You know, just pass me a bit more brandy butter. Just hold the tree steady while I, you know, put the fairy on. It's all sort of a symbol of new life and families and being nice and kind to one another at this time of year. And we listen and we nod our heads with all the usual suspects pouring out scorn, you know, on the historic accuracy of almost every aspect of the traditional Christmas story. And people soak it up because it fits with what they want to hear. After all, we wouldn't want to get too serious about all this, would we? It's just Christmas. And so we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, with very little faith. And we have angels and wise men and stars. But there is always this tension behind such a Christian festival in our post-Christian age. Is it true? Is all this true? A packet of angel napkins for the Christmas table and a quick chorus of Little Donkey will not resolve the question. If it isn't true, then what we're about this evening is just a load of sentimental claptrap. We are just kidding ourselves and wasting our time. If it isn't true, then why not just forget the religious bit altogether and get on and have a good time? Put down the pre-Christmas dinner beer or sherry. Go online at 12:01 and start your sales shopping. Eat, drink and be merry and shop. Because if it isn't true, then this is all a lie. And year on year, we just go on perpetuating the myth. Why bother? Let's come clean. But what if it is true? What if this really all is true? What if it is all true that there really is a God in heaven, and that by the word of his command he created the heavens and the earth? What if it is true that men and women are not just products of some random evolutionary process, but they're created, designer made, for a relationship with this all-powerful God? What if it is true that we are creatures of free will, yet we have decided to abandon our designer's ways? We've decided to carve our own way in the world, to reject him and all he stands for. What if it is true that we have taken this beautiful thing that God has created, us included, and turned it into an absolute mess by our own sinful ways, and that each one of us is implicated in it? What if it is true that our hands are dirty, and that there is a consequence to that rebellion, and we are unable to meet the penalty price ourselves? We are completely powerless to extract ourselves from the mess we have got ourselves into. What if it is true that Almighty God himself, in his infinite love and mercy, sent his one and only Son to be born as a baby, to come as one of us, to pay the price for our rebellion, a price we could not pay for ourselves, in a once-for-all sacrifice in his death on the cross? What if it is true that Jesus rose again from the dead because death couldn't hold him, and that he ascended into heaven and ever lives at the right hand of God the Father? What if it is true that one day he will come again, not as a baby this time, but as King of the universe, and that everyone will stand before him as judge, and we will be called to give account for the gift of life we have received and lived? What if it is all true? I think we are fearful of allowing ourselves to ask that question, because if we do, we might just need to work on the answer. And it's not the answer we want to hear, and it's not the choice we want to make. We prefer sitting on the fence because it doesn't require a decision, and we think we can get away with a bit of a fudge of a bit of this and a bit of that, and everything, including the festival season, will just be okay. Just enough of a religious inoculation to guard against the real thing. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, wrote this: Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no consequence. But if it is true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. This story, this thing, cannot be moderately important. When we do the nostalgic sentimentality bit, we declare it of no importance, because it's just a children's nativity scene and carols that we no longer know the words to. But if it's true, then it has to be of infinite importance, and it cannot be confined to a season of tinsel. If it is true, as C.S. Lewis says, those who trivialize its message are in grave danger of the consequence of such ignorance. The thing is, the truth of the Christmas story challenges us about our lives, about our beliefs, about our future in this world and beyond. How comfortable are you not facing up to the questions that challenge you, preferring perhaps fluffy, sentimental half-truths? If it's true, then it deserves nothing less than your fullest attention, for it has to be the greatest event in the history of the universe, an event in which you are ultimately a part. And so as we gather this evening, as you celebrate this Christmas, in fact, right now, you could change everything and open yourself up to a journey of discovery that brings life in all its abundant fullness through the truth of the Christmas story. Or you could just have another mince pie. I'd like to challenge you. How courageous are you? Are you brave enough to ask the question? Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand, and we will use one of the historic declarations of Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed, for our profession of faith this evening. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please sit as we pray? The response to our prayers is, as I say, Holy God, would you please respond, hear our prayer. Holy God, hear our prayer. In peace this night, let us pray to the Lord. Father, in this holy night, your Son, our Saviour, was born in human flesh. Renew your church as the body of Christ. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, there was no room for your Son in the inn. Protect with your love those who have no home and all who live in poverty and hardship. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, Mary, in the pain of labour, brought your Son to birth. Hold in your hand all who this night are in pain or distress. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, your Christ came as a light shining in the darkness. Bring comfort to all who suffer in the sadness of our world. We especially remember the people of Ukraine. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, the angels sang peace to God's people on earth, Strengthen those who work for peace and justice in this country and across our world. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, shepherds in the field heard good tidings of great joy. Give us grace to preach and live the gospel of Christ's redemption. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, strangers found the Holy Family and saw the baby lying in the manger. Bless our homes and our gatherings and all whom we love and pray for. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, heaven is come down to earth and earth is raised to heaven. Hold in your hand all those who have passed through death in the hope of your coming kingdom. Holy God, hear our prayer. In this holy night, Christians the world over celebrate Christ's birth. Open our hearts that he may be born in us today. Holy God, hear our prayer. Father, in this holy night, angels and shepherds worshipped at the manger throne. Receive the worship we offer in fellowship with Mary, Joseph, and all the saints, through him who is your word made flesh, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand that we might share God's peace with one another. This night the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all in whom he delights. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Please offer one another a sign of peace. And we're going to sing carol number 7, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." Number 7. If you'd like to turn to page 3 on your service sheet, you will find there the words that I'd like to share with you and you with me as we use the Eucharistic prayer for this evening. The Word was made flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God of all glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We worship and adore you. He is the heavenly King, born of Mary. We worship and adore you. He is the Word of the Father, crying as a baby. We worship and adore you. He is robed in glory, wrapped in infant clothes. We worship and adore you. He is Lord of heaven and earth, laid in a manger. We worship and adore you. Strong in weakness, glorious in humility. To him be all praise and glory. We join with all the company of heaven, worshipping you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. Please sit as we pray. And we join in the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We break this bread, the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God, here among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life. I'd like to invite all who are, if you would like to receive communion, to please come forward and do so. I will be giving bread, and if you wish to receive from a common cup wine, then you can do that. In addition, you don't have to receive wine if you don't wish to do so. If it's not your regular habit to receive communion, I would be delighted if you would come forward for a blessing that I might pray for you, and God's blessing on you this Christmas. God, our Father, in this night you have made known to us again the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. confirm our faith, and fix our eyes on him until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, rises in our hearts. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, one of the joys of tonight is that we get to do all four verses of O Come, All You Faithful. It's one of those frustrating things that happens during the carol season, is that you get to verse 3 and you have to stop. Well, we don't this evening. We can sing, Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. So I invite you now to stand, please. Carol number 12, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Just before our closing prayer and blessing, just a couple of things to say. Firstly, it's about 12:20 now, so it's later this morning. There is another service here at St. Margaret's, 10 o'clock, a service to celebrate Christmas morning, if you are able. Firstly from me to say a very happy and blessed and peaceful Christmas to you all. Our closing prayer. Father of all, you have given us your Son to be the Saviour of the world. Welcome us as your children into your kingdom to enjoy your presence forever. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. And so we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.